We've come to the ninth message out of 10 in the life of Job, this incredible man. And as I read and reread this book and look at the different things that are found in it, it's an awesome book. It's a deep book. I took time this week to read again every word that Job spoke, both after the anguish of the loss and as each of the friends of Job spoke to him and he responded. And then when those three friends were finally silent, what did Job have to say? What did he think? What did he feel? And there's just an incredible amount of things about Job and his faith that I felt and I saw as I just read his words. Not making Job to be out anything other than a man who did his best to be faithful to God. And he loved God. And he was challenged in a way far more than different than I'm challenged, and probably many of you are challenged. He was an incredible man, and he had an incredible faith. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to focus on God's words and his final, when God speaks back into the story and he responds, and it's an incredible thing that God says to Job too. It's just incredible, both what Job says and how God responds to him. We'll focus, Lord willing, next week on the words of God, his response to Job, his response to Job's friends, and all those that are looking on. I believe that every book in the Bible is there for a reason, and there's things in the book of Job that God has put there for you and for me, for our faith, to help us during certain times in our lives when we're in circumstances that somehow match up to the book of Job. For Job, it's been a long night, but I want to tell you that the long night in the book of Job and the story of Job is coming to an end. One of the songs that we had this morning referred to the night, and that's sometimes how we feel when we're in life circumstances. We're in a tunnel, we're in a nighttime, we're in a time that's dark and difficult. And for Job, his part of the story, it's an incredible look at and telling of a man that's been in a long, long night. The marathon of accusations are finally over. The friends of Job who has spoken these words that have been so hurtful to him and crushing to Job, even more so as he has just dealt with all the loss and the pain and the agony and the questions and all those things. And then his friends, as they hurl those words on him that just seem so merciless and so wrong anyway, and Job has endured that for I don't know how long till finally those three friends of Job have stopped speaking. Well, today I want to look a little bit at the deep thoughts of where Job is now and what he's thinking, what he's feeling, what he says. After he has endured this horrible suffering now, I don't know how long it is. Where's Job at and how is he processing what's happened to him and what does he say? And those thoughts are found, as I said, intermittently throughout the book of Job, but from chapter 26 to 31 is the collection of Job's final thoughts. And he does say a lot, and he touches on a lot of things. And this morning, I want to mention six things about Job and what he's thinking and what he says and what that speaks, at least to me, about today, and where Job is at. Earlier, he's responded to each of the comforters, so he doesn't really respond that much in this section to his comforters, but he does say some things about what these men have said and the barbs that he has felt continuously from them and from their words. I'll say of Job, as I read all of his words, I thought of three areas that Job speaks out of. First of all, Job speaks out of his pain, which he starts there in his first words in chapter 4. He speaks out of the simple pain of life. And at the beginning, when the first messenger came with the bad news, just imagine how shocked and surprised Job was, and you know how he had to deal with that and think of the loss and try to process that. But maybe he would have been like some of us when something bad happens. Our first reaction is, okay, I'm going to make it through this, and I have the support of those around me, and I'm going to be okay. And then the next messenger came, and the next messenger, and then by the time it was over, he had lost everything. And then the painful boils that had gone from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and all the agony of that. And then the struggle with his wife and her pain and how she was handling that, and the hopelessness that she felt, and he was bearing that too. And then the friends come and just heap on the pain that he feels. A lot of things that Job says in these chapters 26 through 31 are just words about being in pain. I'm reminded that sometimes that's all we can do, is just respond out of the pain that we feel when we've had something happen to us. And for a time, that might be all that we really can do or say or think or feel. We just know that we hurt. And Job talks about that hurt that he feels. Job also speaks out of his anger. His anger's not at God. He doesn't seem to have a bone of anger toward God that I can see in his words. But he does have anger towards three friends and to what he perceives as their absolute turning on him and making everything possibly worse than can be, all the loss that he has. And so he does speak out of anger, and he says some very human things. I think of Job's words here, and I'll mention a few later how human Job was. You know, I don't want to put him on this pedestal like he doesn't have feelings, that he doesn't have to deal with them and get them out. We all have feelings. I bet here today there's quite a few of us who have feelings about things. Feelings about the past. Feelings about hurts. Feelings about people. Feelings about church. Feelings about finances, feelings about all kinds of things that impact and affect us. We all have feelings. So don't ever think that if Satan tells you because you have negative feelings or painful feelings that you're hopeless, or that you can't really be a Christian, or God isn't going to be faithful to you. The truth is, Job was on the very bottom of feelings. And he was angry. And he was hurt. He had a lot of emotions. And so some of the things he says in chapter 26 through 31 are about how this man dealt with his anger, how he dealt with all the things. He did pretty well. He did better than, I know, a lot better than I would have done, you know. But it's a good example to read those chapters and how is Job dealing with his anger. And then Job speaks out of his faith in God. And that is incredible. Faith. How important that was to Job. I think it's Job's faith that brought him through. If he wouldn't have had that faith, I don't know what would have happened to Job. But he has incredible faith. And the ability to hold on to what he knew in his heart, who God was, even though everything else crumbled around him. When we go through challenging times, our reactions and words often come through these three filters. Sometimes people seem to just live out of their pain. They make decisions out of their pain. They make bad decisions and worse decisions. And just keep making decisions because they're in number one and they can't make it to number three. Some people live in anger and hostility, and I don't mean that they are necessarily murderers, but they never resolve the anger about something in the past. And it affects everything they do. Well, Job shows his honest feelings and his thoughts and his journey in these chapters. He shows us he is made of clay. He is not Superman. But he's a genuine man who is wrestling with his faith. Two things I want to say about that. Number one is, each of us must wrestle with our faith. You expect that everything's just going to fall into place and you're going to know everything and you're going to get it all right without the wrestling match. It's probably not going to happen, especially when you come to a time of storm in your life. There are questions that you have to wrestle with. Who you are, who God is. The second thing about that is God will see him through. God will see Job through on this one. And he does. What he says to him later, and man, that's deep. God knows about where Job has been and is, and in this unique story in the Bible, there's no other story like it. And I was thinking this week as I was thinking about this message, not only is there not any story like this in the rest of the Bible, but God gives so many promises from here on about his presence, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. It's like God said, one time. But that one time is to show you something about faith. He backed away from Job. That's what Job felt. God's going to come back. And when he does, he tells us some things. He says, I am with you always. So that's a great thing about the book of Job. The promises of God to be with you. And whatever you deal with in your life, don't forget this part of Job's story. Turn to chapter 31, if you would. I want to read 11 verses from this chapter, and then I'm going to read some verses from chapter 27 as well. There's a lot in these five or six chapters, but I just want to read a little sample of Job. And then I want to mention six things about Job and what he says here. This is near the end of Job's last recorded words. Verse 29 says, if I have rejoiced at my enemy's misfortune or gloated over the trouble that came to him, I have not allowed my mouth to sin by invoking a curse against his life. If the men of my household have never said, who has not had his fill of Job's meat? But no stranger had to spend the night in the street, for my door was always open to the traveler. If I have concealed my sin as men do, by hiding my guilt in my heart because I so feared the crowd and so dreaded the contempt of the clans that I kept silent and would not go outside. Oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser put his indictment in writing. Surely I would wear it on my shoulder. I would put it on like a crown. I would give him an account my every step. Like a prince, I would approach him. If my land cries out against me and all its furrows are wet with tears, if I have devoured its yield without payment or broken the spirit of the tenants, then let briars come up instead of wheat and weeds instead of barley. The first thing that I want to say about Job's words and reaction is that Job is crying out to God. Job is crying out to God. Job is doing what we should do when we feel pain and hurt and loneliness or loss or any of those things. Job is crying out to God. It's okay to cry out to God. I mean, I won't read all the things that Job says, of course, in this great book and this long book, but in many places, Job is simply crying out to God. God, where are you? Job is not holding back. He's not trying to be dignified. He's not trying to gently phrase his words so he gets them just right. He's not trying to hide anything deep in his heart or in his soul or in his feelings. He's simply crying out to God and say, God, this is where I'm at. He's not trying to hide that he's confused. It doesn't make sense to him. It's made sense to him all his life, but it hasn't now. It doesn't now. It doesn't anymore. And he's crying out to God for help. He's crying out for answers. He's crying out that God would somehow tell him why and what does he want from him? Job is crying out for reassurance. God, am I not yours? Am I not your son? What has happened, God? What have I done? He is broken. He's confused. I don't know how active Satan is in his mind during this time, but I just have the guess and the opinion that probably all along the way Satan is just planting things in Job's mind that he's struggling with all along the way. Just the circumstances would do that, but just imagine the confusion in Job's spirit. He is teetering on the edge of something that terrifies him. He doesn't understand. And I'm not saying that's because he lost everything. I'm saying because he cannot hear God's voice. He's at a place in his life where he doesn't know where God is. So he does what we should do when we feel desperate about our faith and about life and about our needs, is cry out to God. Psalm chapter 9, verse 12 says, "He forgets not the cry of the humble." Remember what God says and thinks when he looks down on those that cry out to him. You call out to God in a heart that's sincere and humble, God hears that. He doesn't forget what you say. God hears the cry of your heart. The psalmist David wrote in chapter 18, "In my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." David tells us in that chapter and in that writing that God has ears. I never really thought too much about that. Did you know that God has ears? And he hears your heart. He hears your words. He hears your voice. But more importantly, he hears your heart. So if you wonder, does God hear me when I cry out in my spirit? Whether it's a verbal or it's an internal or it's an expressive or it's more inhibited. God hears your heart when you cry out to him. That's what these psalms and many others, I just chose two to read this morning, but what they say. I cried out to my God and he heard me. God hears your cries. One more from the book of Jeremiah chapter 33. "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." In the prophets, this word, "call to me and I will answer you." God gives a promise. I said God gave promises after the book of Job, and those promises for a time didn't match up in the book of Job, so I believe God gave them later and as saying, it's like the rainbow in Noah and the flood. "Never again will I flood the earth and destroy mankind with a flood." And God put a promise, a covenant, and I believe God gave promises after the book of Job also about his presence in these things. Job cries out to God. Number two, Job also says what he thinks of his three friends. Job says in a number of ways, he used a lot of words. He seems pretty kind compared to what they did to him. I mean, but he was pushing the envelope, being pretty angry. "They have been wrong. They have been senseless," he said. "Off the mark, not helpful." He calls them and their words, rubbish. He says that your words, your proverbs are like ashes, undependable. What miserable comforters you are. And so he speaks of them. Number one, he cries out to God. Number two, he speaks about his friends. Number three, Job acknowledges the power of God. And that is all throughout these chapters. He talks about how powerful the Creator is. Job does not question the power of God at all. In fact, he tells his three comforters, "You don't understand, God is a powerful God, and he controls everything," Job tells them. And God is not only controls everything, but Job says God is in control. It's a fact that Job believes that God's in control, but he can't hear from God. That is the hardest part. But he believes God is in control, and so all throughout he speaks of it. He says God can do anything he wants to. God is able to do everything that he wants to. And he says, God will do what's right. He says to Job's comforters, God will do what's right. But he doesn't understand because from what Job can see, God hasn't done what's right yet. God hasn't done what's right yet, and he doesn't understand why. Timing. Job is confused by God's timing, and are we not sometimes very much confused by God's timing? Things that we wish would happen now or next or at a certain place or a certain point, and they don't, and they cause us to question and wonder. Well, I don't have the answer to that, but to say that Job did. And that's one of the lessons that we find from him, that God has amazing, unequal power, but we don't understand the timing of God. To Job, God is out of character because he doesn't know why he has not done what he thought he would do. And he hasn't heard the reason. But I know of Job that he never loses his eye, his faith, his compass, that God will do what is right. And so no matter how long this is, Job is wavering, Job is teetering, but he says, God will do what's right. And I think that is part of why God affirms so much the character and faith and life of Job. He believed that God would do what's right. It does remind me of the scripture about faith that I quote often, that without faith it is impossible to please God, for we must believe that he exists and believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The second part of that, the first part's never seems, no question here in the book of Job. Job believes God exists. The comforters do. Satan, everybody believes God exists. But here, the second part of that, I think, especially is affirmed. You must believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Job believed that. He didn't see it. He didn't know it. He didn't understand it. He didn't feel it. It didn't seem true, but he held on to it. God will do what's right. The fourth thing I want to say about Job is Job proclaimed his innocence. I mean, he told it the way it was. He didn't try to say, well, yes, I must have sinned, and so therefore I'm wrong, and I deserve this punishment. Job never says that. No, Job says, I've done what I think is right. God, show me if I'm wrong. Show me where I'm wrong. Chapter 27, verse 1 says, and Job continued his discourse, as surely as God lives, who has denied me justice, the Almighty, who has made me taste bitterness of soul, as long as I live within me, the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, and my tongue will utter no deceit. I will never admit you are in the right till I die. I will not deny my integrity. I will maintain my righteousness and never let it go. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live. Those words, you first read them, they sound, well, man, he's really being proud. Ego, pride. God, you're wrong and I'm right. No, I don't see it. I don't see it quite like that. I see it. Job was being totally honest with God. God, this is how I see it. This is what I have tried to be. I mean, it's one thing for Job to wrestle with his friends all accusing him falsely, and they did. You know, that's one level. But Job is struggling in another level too, and that is that God is accusing him. Because he doesn't understand yet that it's Satan that's behind this. He thinks it's God at this point. And he says, God, it's not true. That's not who I am. That's not what I've done. If it is, show me. But he says to him, I maintain my righteousness and never let it go. I will never admit you are in the right. He says to God, God, you say I sinned, and I'm telling you, I haven't. That's pretty bold. You know, that you could take that to be pretty proud, and you know, he was not humble, and he was stubborn. No, I think Job was just being honest with God. God, I don't understand. Maybe for once you don't have it right, because I've done everything that you told me to do. Man, that's got to be a hard place to be in. When you believe that you've done what's right, and yet it seems like, and everyone says that you have done wrong. In Job is an integrity and an honesty about himself that it's pretty special. He says, if I've done wrong, oh God, please show me. Going back to chapter 6, verse 24, he says, teach me and I will be quiet. Show me where I've been wrong. I mean, he has said to God in different places, God, especially in the beginning, especially when he was first responding to all this stuff going on, he said, well, I must have done something. Let me examine. Let me look at my life. And he does that. He goes through all the things about his life. Well, I think I've always tried to help the poor. I think I've always been honest with my business deal. And he just goes through all these things in his life. And by the time he gets to the end, it's almost like he's got his chin out and he says, God, you're wrong about this one. Show me my sin. If you would just show me, God. So he proclaims his innocence. This is how I've lived, he says. He speaks of his life and his choices and his good deeds. He's unashamed to say, this is who I am. The only person on earth, apparently, who believed, or in heaven, it seemed to Job. No one, not even God, believed him. And that's what Job had to put up with for a time. Number five, Job longs for days gone by. He reminisces somewhat. He remembers so much. He remembers how blessed he's been. He wishes he could go back and live in those days again. He wishes that, this one seems very human to me. He just wishes that he could go back and be with his family again. And all the things that happened to him. You think of all that he lost. I mean, and how blessed he had been, the greatest man of the East, and then he lost everything. And he wishes he could go back. You think of Job's life, 10 happy children. I mean, you just start with that, and how his wealth that was unparalleled. But there's some deeper things, too, with Job. When I say deeper, in other categories, I should say. One is the trust and respect that he had. And I won't go into the scriptures that talk about how he was respected at the city gates and everybody came to him for advice. And in that area, the people saw him as a man of great integrity and they all came to him. And that's lost now. Now they're laughing at him. He's become the laughing stock, he says. He remembers back to what it was like when he was trusted and it hurts. He remembers back to his influence, the way that he was able to help people and kindness. And he tells some stories of things that he did to help people. And again, I don't read that. Sometimes bad people say a lot of good things about themselves, you know, and they try to make that smeared over so everything looks good. That's not what Job's doing at all. He's saying, I don't understand, God, this is who I am. And he had been a kind man. And according to even the comforters of Job said, Job, you've done all these good things, but there must be something about you that's wicked and evil because of what God has done to you. So Job, even though you've done all this stuff, we know you're hiding something. And Job says, I'm not hiding anything. But the thing that Job has lost that is the most important, I think, and the most significant to me is Job has lost his closeness to God. That Job cannot bear. He longs for God's presence. I think, what do I admire about Job? There's so many things, but one of them is in the midst of these trials he's in, Job is longing for God's presence. That's what's the depth of his heart is he wants to be connected to God. I know how you weigh that about losing 10 children and everything else and his health and all that stuff. I don't know how to weigh that, but Job writes a lot about this and he longs for God's presence again. Because there was a day when Job felt that all the time. God was with him. God was speaking to him. God was directing him. God was helping him. God was guiding him. And he felt like God was God and he was Job. And oh, they had a great relationship, and Job didn't want that to change. He never wanted that to change. He wouldn't do anything to change that. Then God backed up and pulled away from him, and all this happened to him. This is horrible for Job. He is so empty. He's so dry. Oh God, where are you? Please, Job says, come to me as you did before. Job begs God to speak to him. He says that several times. I beg you, I call on you, I say, God, would you please speak to me? Chapter 31, verse 35. Let me read first part of the verse. It says, oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now my defense, let the Almighty answer me. Job says, God, and this is the very end, the last six verses that Job speaks. And he gets to the end and he says, God, today I'm asking you, would you come and answer my question? If I've done something wrong, would you come and would you put it on paper and tell me? But today, would you come? Would you tell me what it is? Surely I will wear it on my shoulder, verse 36 says. Let my accuser put his indictment into writing. I don't know. After this, Elihu comes and then God speaks. And I don't know for sure about the order and why God did what he did then. But at least I thought of this as I've read this, that this is when God finally says, this is enough. This is enough. Job was calling out of faith to God. Would you please answer me? Would you put it in writing, God? We've had this relationship for a long time. I don't understand. Remember way back in chapter 2, it says that through all this, Job never accused God of wrongdoing. Now, I'm not sure how some of these words go with that, but I'm thinking back to that, and then I'm coming to here, and Job's saying, okay, God, I give up. I'm not going to say anymore. I'm not going to think anymore. I don't know if that's true. I'm not doing anything. I'm just saying, God, it's all up to you. It's all on you, God. Kill me? He asked him to earlier. Back when he was with his friends, he said, God, I can't take it anymore. Would you kill me? God didn't do that to him. God knew he could hang on a little bit more. He says, take me out. Life is not worth living, God. But he keeps going, and he keeps talking, and he keeps verbalizing to God. And he comes to this point. Oh, that someone would hear me. I sign now my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Interesting to me that the book started with the accuser, and really this end of the book, until God responds, ends with that word accuser. So Job is confused about who the accuser is here, as the three men were. But you know, all along it's the accuser, Satan, who's trying to destroy every soul, who started it, who initiated it, who challenged God, and all those things in there. And finally, Job puts it down. Okay, he's confused about who the accuser is. He says, okay, accuser. He thinks it's God. He says, God, would you just come right now and settle this? He asked God to do that, and God does. Soon, God will be there. I don't know, hours, days, weeks, months, minutes. I don't know, but I know that God responded to this. God steps in, and then Job understands. I don't know that Job will understand what happened. Maybe God explained it to him, and maybe not. But God stepped in. And he helped him. Debbie, would you come to the piano, please, and play? I'd like for us to sing that last song that we sang before the message. I thought it was excellent. Could you go back to that, Crystal? I thought the words were so good to this message, abide with me. That's what Job's heart was. God, abide with me. Come and be with me. Speak to me. And sometimes that's the prayer. That's the prayer that we need to make and speak to God, and He hears our prayers. Would you stand with me, and could we sing that in closing this morning? Abide with me. Us and you teach us in this tremendous story and these circumstances that we can learn so much from, God, that I'm thankful today that not one of us here have to doubt that you are with us. Thank you for what Job went through and what it teaches us. God, help us to have faith that's strong. Help us to keep believing and holding on and seeking you no matter what life throws our way, I pray. Thank you, God, that you abide with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless.